talk about family. How's your family adjusting? Are you adjusting to life back in Colorado?
Yes.
And right. Are they excited to be back?
Absolutely.
Are you getting out at all? Or is it all
bunker mentality,
all pre-draft?
It's taken a while to get settled, but it's a beautiful city. It's grown an awful lot. You know, I'm still using my ways to get around, which is weird for me, but it's grown so much, you know, so I get lost still, you know, but the family's excited to be back, you know, be back west, and you know, it's going to be a good place to live and raise a family.
When you mentioned, you know, about not stopping the business from moving on, did you always feel that way, or was that a little bit infused by what you experienced when you couldn't come to Denver?
I've always felt that way. It's, you know, to me, it's easy. You know, it's, you know, most coaches work their entire lives to have a chance to be a coordinator. It's not my right to stop them from being that. You know, if a guy's worked in the league 20 years and his first chance to be a coordinator, that's not my right to stop him from, you know, being a coordinator. Hey, man, go feed your family. You know, go chase your dream. That's not my right to stop his, you know, stop his dream chase. You know, so I think it's wrong.
Circling back, Vance, you said if you add a veteran quarterback, it'd likely be a younger guy. Mm-hmm. You haven't talked to Romo. Why hasn't the team just said we're not pursuing Romo? Like, he's out. Like, you guys have yet to close that door. Is it still cracked then, or it's not really for me? I'm kind of lost interest in this, but I'm just trying to get clarity here.
Right.
Is Romo dead?
No.
Or is it just something you just, it's not available?
So. I would say this, you know. It's our overall philosophy, you know, to not rule anything out.
Okay.
You know? If a player's available who can help us get better in any area, you know, we're going to research and explore it. You know, and that's everyone who becomes available. You know, that's the issue. You know, you can't say never, you know, never, never, never. You know, but right now, today, you know, we're fine with our quarterbacks. But moving forward, you know, any player that comes available, I mean, who can help us get better, we're going to explore it.
Coach, can you talk about your relationship with Coach Lane? What's going to be like coaching against him this year?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Can you talk about your relationship with Coach Anthony Lane?
Oh, Anthony Lane, yes. Anthony and I were neighbors in Denver. You know, I mean, we were neighbors for about 2 years in Denver. So, and I've known Anthony a long time and his family. It's going to be fun. He's a first timer. I'm a first timer. You know, we play him twice a year, and you know, it's going to be fun. You know, we were teammates, you know, for a training camp in Denver. You know, so I've known him a long time. He's a good man. He's a great leader. You know, obviously, I coached against him in Buffalo this year. You know, first time I won pretty much the stats battle. Second time I won the game, but he won the stats battle. You know, so it was good battles. He's a good football coach.
Vince, you guys beat the 49ers last year with Miami, but Kaepernick put up some pretty decent numbers in that game.
Sure, sure.
What, if anything, does he do well as a quarterback at this stage?
Well, Cap, you know, he's a excellent athlete. You know, so when plays, you know, broke down, we couldn't tackle him. You know, that's the thing with Kaepernick. I mean, he's a quarterback who runs 4-5. You know, and you know, those big guys can't get him on the ground, and he throws the ball fine. You know, I mean, he's a good passer. But when you put the zone read element into a game plan on a guy like that, that makes it hard to defend.
So why do you think he's not signed right now?
I don't really know, but it could be numerous, you know, issues as far as, you know, he's a quarterback, he's a veteran quarterback, you know, his number could be really high, you know, he doesn't fit, you know, a certain offensive philosophy. It could be numerous things.
You want your, you know, ideally, programmatically, do you want your backup quarterback to be along the same lines as your starting quarterback? I mean, you've coordinated against teams, too, where you got to prepare and know what the backup is.
That's a good question. I think in a perfect world, you want those guys to be different because from a defensive perspective, you know, when that first guy goes down, your game plan won't fit if they're different. If they're the same, your game plan won't change. But, you know, to have a drop back quarterback as your one and then a zone re guy as your two, that's tough because game day wise, I mean, you have no time to adjust your game plan to that. So in a perfect world, you want them to be totally different.
You have kind of an all-star cast on the offensive coaching side.
We do.
So be a devil's advocate here. Is there any concern that, you know, there are a couple too many Chiefs? And how do you think that will work itself out?
That's a good question, Mike. Mike McCoy wanted Musgraves, and he wanted Deep Chris. Yeah, that was Mike's hires.
Yeah.
You know, so Mike had no concern with that issue. You know, Mike wants to help. Mike's been a head coach,
yeah.
So he gets the big picture. Okay, the more ideas, the more good ideas you have, the better you're going to be on Sundays. You know, our entire staff, in my opinion, you know, is that way. Even with Joe, you know, Joe on that staff on defense, I mean, he's the young guy between Reggie and Bill and excuse me, guys,
and
Puggage. You know, he's the young guy.
Bill,
yeah. You know, I mean, he worked under Puggage in Minnesota. As a secondary coach, the Puggins was a coordinator, you know, so it's no different on defense, you know. So our two coordinators, they're embracing the help, okay? They're embracing the veteran staff, and, you know, if we do that, we're going to be pretty good on both sides of that.
What does Eric Stoutsville bring as the assistant head coach now, not just the
coach? Well, Eric's been there the longest. I mean, he's been there how long? He's been there
6 years.
Six years. So the locker room, you know, he understands the locker room. You know, I mean, he knows the players in the locker room. So that's Eric's role outside of coaching the running backs. I mean, the pulse of the locker room goes through Eric Studefield. You know, Eric and Thomas are really, really close. You know, wide receiver, running backs close, but really, really close. So that's Eric's role. He's been in the building. He knows the players very well. You know, and he helps me. I mean, he's a very detailed guy. So from practice schedules to hey, coach, you know, next month is coming up. In the past, we've done this. You know, he's kind of a bridge for me from the old to the new. You know, so his role is going to be vital for us.
You told Mace yesterday the offense was about all the way put in. What is that offense in general terms? Because you've said before you want an aggressive offense that's way more attacking than reactionary.
Sure.
What is it going to kind of look like then? Are we looking at more shotgun spread? I mean, without giving up all state secrets,
well,
what are you
doing? Well, it depends. It depends on who's in the game. When you build a system offensively or defensively, you kind of build a big room, okay, and you put all your tools inside of it.
Okay.
You know, and I think weekly or by player, you pull things out, you know, that fits the player. So when you're building a system, it's not pinpoint, you know, on what you're going to do all fall,
okay.
But it's a big room full of tools, and weekly you pull them out. You know, what fits that defense, what fits that player, what fits the scheme. You know, so when I say system, it's an overview of what it's going to look like. But inside of that, you know, you can adjust very easily.
You want it to be aggressive? How would you define it in terms of the way you want it?
I want it to be aggressive. But again, guys, that changes weekly. You know, how do you win each game? You know, and it's going to look different, you know, sometimes. You know, if we're playing an explosive offense on our other side of the ball, you know, it may be a little more slower. You know, if we're playing in Miami, you know, in September, you know, it may be a little slower because of the weather. So it will change week to week, but mindset-wise, we want to score points, as many as we can. That wins games. You know, if you score, you can win.
Do you think CJ will be ready the first rep of OTAs?
I'm not sure. You know, he's working, you know, that direction. He's there every day working, so hopefully. But again, he's a veteran player. You know, if he's kind of, you know, working in OTAs in the mid part of it, we'll be fine with him in the fall.
From the film study and watching the run defense.
Yes.
Why did it struggle, and how can Villatop and Zach change that?
I'll say this, okay? I think the run defense struggled because of the frequency of the run. Our front seven mechanics, we gotta, you know, help those guys with different looks. Okay? You know, when you play a certain front all the time, you know, and a offensive football team have a chance to practice all week and they show up on Sundays, it looks the same, you know, they're gonna move the ball on you. So I think a combination of the frequency of runs and our front seven mechanics, you know, we gotta get better there, you know, and have more change-ups in the front. Now, that being said, signing Domantas Peko, okay, as a nose guard, that's going to help. He's a big man, and he enjoys being a nose guard. You know, he enjoys taking double teams. That's his job. You know, his job is to sit in the A gap and hold a center and guard off the backers, you know, keep those backers clean. You know, and he enjoys that job. He's a big man. Okay, with Zach Kerr, he's also a big man, but he's played the five, the shade, and the three. So he's going to be a guy that can back up all three spots, and he has the ability to rush the passer inside. You know, so I think the combination of of players and scheme and the frequency of a run. Overall, big picture, when you don't score points on offense, okay, the opposing offenses feel no pressure to throw the football. You know, so you get more runs, right? If you're behind as an offense, okay, you can run the ball 65% of the time. And that's what they saw last year because they were so good on defense. And it wasn't scoring points on offense. So it affects the big picture, right? If a team's behind by 10 points, okay, you won't see that many runs. So it's a big picture issue. It wasn't just a defensive issue. It's a big picture.
Did you ever look into why the first drives were so problematic? Because that was a big issue. The team didn't play with the lead hardly all season because they gave up so many first possession touchdowns.
Right.
They just kind of shut it down after that. What, when you looked at the film, was there something that was going on that let them?
When I watched the film, I noticed that every first drive was almost a touchdown.
Yeah. You know?
Then they settle down and play well. Again, that's a system issue, in my opinion, as far as what they practice all week, they show up on Sundays, and it's the same picture. Okay, Mike Nolan was very, very good at this, and he would always tell me, in the first 15 plays, okay, whatever you put in new that week, give it to him early, okay, because now his film study, his game plan is out of whack. Then you come back to your bread and butter. But you can't show him your hand in the first 15 because he's also worked 90 hours. Okay, so he's ready for those, you know, those looks he saw in practice. So if you show up with those same looks, guess what? It's NFL football. They don't have success no matter how good you're on defense. So you have to throw out your curveballs in the first 15. Right? Now he has to go back to the drawing board and say, okay, what was that?
Yeah.
Then you come back with your bread and butters, the game slowed down, now you're back in your groove. But I noticed that watching the game. I asked Joe, what's going on here? I knew the answer.
Finding a true left tackle,
uh-huh.
Did you expect to have that position filled at this point? Is it a concern at this point?
Well, it was a possibility that we weren't going to have it filled. And I was, you know, you talk through every issue that's possible with free agency and with your roster. So I'm not surprised that we're sitting here, you know, without a known left tackle. But again, Stevenson's played some left, Watson's played some left tackle, so I'm not overly concerned with it. And again, it's like left and right corner. You know, who's your better corner, left or right?
Left.
What were you, why?
He's on the one receiver.
He's on who?
He's on the one receiver, moving over the alignment to their top guy because the quarterback's looking that.
That's
way.
Why.
He's right-handed.
Because it's vision, right? So left corner's always. But for me, it's the NFL. The hashes are so close. Left or right corner doesn't matter. Okay, they both have to be able to play.
Yeah.
Okay. So left or right tackle. Okay, they both have to pass protect. So if it's left or right, you got to switch your feet and play. So I'm not overly concerned about having a left tackle. Von Miller, for the most part, is on our defensive left side.
Yeah.
So he's going against the right tackle all the time, right? Defensively, you can align your front anywhere you want. So they can get, you know, I can get Von Miller on your worst tackle anytime I want. So left or right, who cares? You know, we need to acquire tackles who can block speed. And in our division, every team has two,
yeah.
Right? Every team has two rushers, so it's a concern for all of us in a division, you know, blocking edge rushers. So left or right, not concerned. I want two guys who can block speed rushers.
Well, once a guy struggles, to your point, they move your best rusher.
Absolutely.
Like Bosa, suddenly
absolutely.
He's over.
You know, and that's the old traditional football terms. The right tackle is more of a run blocker. He's a bigger guy. Left tackle is more of a dancer. No, it's gotta be equals. I want two good players there. I don't want one guy to be a heavy footed run blocker and one guy to be a soft basketball player. I want guys who can do both.
It's in this for all their success. You know, they've had some head coaches leave, head coach turnover. Even though it was for various reasons, their perception is that John's maybe a difficult boss to work for. I was wondering if you what you have found about working for Mr. Elway.
That's a great question. John's been great.
Yeah.
John's been great. And in my opinion, for a young head coach, it's a perfect setup. Okay? I do football. John does contracts and personnel. You know, we come together on both. You know, but my area is football. You know, as a young coach, I couldn't do both. I don't want to do both. It's too much. You know, I want to coach the football team, you know, and allow John to do personnel, free agency, which he's really good at. You know, so why should I jump into John's soup? You know, and he won't jump into mine. But I want John's I want John's input on football, from the quarterback to how we play offense, how we play defense. I want his input because he's a great football mind. He's a bright guy. But I want it this way. I'm football. He's personnel. He's contracts. Even with coaches' contracts, that falls on John. You know, that way I can coach my coaches without having this animosity between us about contract stuff. John takes it off my plate. You know, so in my opinion, he's the perfect boss to work for because he kind of shields me from a lot of things that most guys don't have shield from. You know, even in Denver, when John makes a call in Denver, he's been so good there, and so much trust with the fan base, it goes over because, you know, John's been so good. So I need John. You know, he's a welcoming shield for me.
How do you think it'll work with the great quarterback competition you're going to have in camp between Paxton and Trevor? You expect him to have input?
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's going to watch every practice, watch every tape from practice. You know, so I want John's input. You know, because that's going to be a group decision. You know, and I'm hoping it's a hard decision. You know, now if it's obvious, it's obvious. You know, we'll move on. But I'm hoping it's going to be a hard decision on who's going to be the quarterback.
Do you think you guys could find another starting tackle in this year's draft class? And kind of what goes into evaluating that for rookies who are
right.
coming into different offenses?
Well, absolutely. You know, but again, tackles, rushers, and corners are the three positions that everyone wants. You know, we're picking 20. You know, it may be three or four tackles that are first round, you know, graded or quality. They may not fall to us. You know, so we have to go into the draft with open mind as far as taking the best player, you know, for our need. So it's a combination of both. It's not only the best player, but it's your need. So if a tackle's there that, you know, deems a first round grade from us, that's possible, absolutely.
What was your thought of Joe Mixon when you visited with him?
I thought Joe was a nice young man. You know, obviously, you know, he had an issue about 3 or 4 years ago, but he's owned it. You know, we bought Joe in because he didn't go to the combine. You know, so we bought him in. We talked to him for a day. You know, he's owned it. You know, he's been remorseful for his mistake, and he's a nice young man.
You mentioned a couple times that you're a young head coach. Who've been some of the biggest influences you've had in your career, kind of helped get you to this point?
Yeah. Well, Gary Kubiak, you know, Mike Nolan, Mike Singletary, you know, Marvin Lewis has been a guy, I lean on him, you know, for a lot of different issues. You know, Marvin's been a head coach now for 14 seasons. You know, that's a motto of longevity. You know, so Marvin's my guy. I call for any kind of scheduling issues, any kind of player issues. You know, he's my sounding board, you know, along with Gary Kubiak, even Wade Phillips. You know, so I've worked with a lot of guys that, you know, been head coaches that are good guys and, you know, willing to share the information with me.
Did you guys have Cam Robinson in yet, or are you planning to talk to him when you talk about tackles?
Yeah.
Did you talk to him?
At the combine we did. Okay. Yeah, the combine we did. Yeah.
And Bowles and Ramczyk were talked to as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What do you think about in a few years no longer having to play at Oakland?
Yeah. That's going to be different. You know, and again, you know, I feel bad for the Oakland Raider fan base, you know, but moving to Vegas, you know, having a chance to have a NFL team in a city, you know, of Vegas magnitude, that's going to be fun in my opinion. But again, the fans are what's important, you know, in my heart. You know, living in the Bay Area for 6 years in San Fran, that fan base is huge. You know, it's a hard place to play in Oakland. You know, so I feel, you know, I do feel bad for the fans, but again, it's exciting to move to Vegas for the football team.
How big of a home advantage is it?
It was a huge, for those guys, it was huge for them because the fan base was so, they were a wild, okay, how about that for a term? It's a wild fan base, but very supportive.
There are two guys in this room that you worked for in recent years in Morgan and Adam Gase.
Yeah.
What did you learn from them that set you up to get this on?
Well, Marvin, I mean, he's going into his, I think, 15th season with the Bengals. You know, Marvin's great with players. He's great with scheduling. You know, he's great with the pulse of the locker room. You know, and I've learned a lot from Marvin, just how he handled coaches. You know, he wasn't a micromanager, you know. He let you coach your guys. Now, if it was a big issue, he would come to you, and he was a clear communicator. He was transparent with what he wanted. You know, so Marvin was easy to work for. Adam Gase, this year, was a model of stay with the process. You know, we started off, 1-4, maybe 1-8. I'm not sure, but it was bad, you know. Then we won 9 straight, you know, but he made changes that are hard to make. You know, we cut 3 offensive linemen. You know, we benched Byron Maxwell, who we traded from Philly with big money. We benched Mario Williams on defense, who was a big money free agent. So that took courage, because if those things don't work, now it's on you. You know, we picked those players, you know, so that took courage, but it worked. And we won 9 straight games, you know, and we were in the playoffs for the first time in almost 14 years. So, you know, with Adam, it's just stay with the process, you know, and have the courage to make hard decisions, because he did. And it worked, and it helped us win.
How is Matt Paradis doing? Do you expect him to be ready by camp?
Matt Paradis will be fine for camp. He had 2 surgeries in the offseason, but he is walking now off crutches. So I'm excited about him. He's there every day rehabbing, and he'll be fine for camp.
Coach, what do you see in the Raiders, a young team you'll be playing twice a year?
I'm sorry, say again?
What do you see in the Raiders, a young team you'll be playing twice a year?
Well, your first thought goes to the quarterback. I mean, he had a great year. I mean, you know, being a second-year guy, I mean, he's going to have a hell of a career. I mean, he's a Pro Bowl-type quarterback, and that obviously is a concern for us. You know, offensive line-wise, they're big, they're physical, you know. They run the football on their terms, you know, and outside of that, they got 2 receivers outside with Crabtree and Cooper that are Pro Bowl type guys. So it's an offense that's going to be tough to contain. You know, and defensively, they're a fast playing group that takes the ball away. You know, so our entire division has grown, you know, with the Chiefs, you know, having Tyreek Hill, you know, emerging there, and you know, San Diego with Phillip. I mean, it's a tough division.
In the locker room, there seems to be maybe a little transition in the leadership with, you know, they had Peyton for so long on the offensive side, DeMarcus on the defensive side. How do you see that shaken out? It is the best locker rooms. Do they have a guy that everyone kind of looks to, or is it position by position? Are you the leader?
Well, losing D-Ware, obviously, you know, that's a stinger in your locker room, you know, but we have a number of guys that can take over that role. You know, offensively, we've got Thomas, we've got Sanders, you know, who both made Pro Bowls, who are both veteran players, you know, who guys will follow, you know, and the quarterback, you know, it's the quarterback's job to be a leader, you know, whether you like it or not, you know, you're a rookie or not, that comes with your position. You know, defensively, we've got a number of leaders. You know, that entire secondary between Stewart and TJ and Tlaib and Chris, they're all leaders, you know, so that part does not concern me, you know. But that being said, the locker room kind of controls and leads how you practice, how you play, your personality, your culture. So you have to have leaders to win in football.
Vince, 2 questions. One, do you have a favorite story about Elway and how competitive he is? The second part is, have you ever played cards with him?
I have not played cards with him first. But as a competitor, I mean, this guy, you know, if he's playing cards or playing golf or anything he's doing, you know, competitively, I mean, he wants to win, you know, and it's apparent. Yeah, I don't have any good ones, because I won't play golf with him, because I'm really bad at it. I've only played 4 rounds in probably 2 years, but he's a scratch golfer, you know. But you know, his conversation with his buddies about golfing and traveling to play golf, it's good conversations. But he's obviously a competitive player, and that made him a great player, you know, in the past. But he wants to win, you know, and last season wasn't good enough for him. That he's made known to me.
You talk about the offensive leaders, Marius. Do you want to see him be more vocal?
I want 88, that's what I call him, 88. You know, I want him to be a dominant player all the time. And, you know, I don't want him to ease into games. I want him to be a guy. And I want him to step out and be a guy. It's time, because he's a great player. He can take over a game, okay? But I want his mindset, every game we play, to walk on the field and take over the game, okay? And again, running the football to force him to load the box and, you know, give him one-on-one opportunities, I want him to win every one-on-one. You know, so what you just said, absolutely. I want him to become a leader, you know, of our football team.
Do you think the offense would help that as it diversifies a little and gets him more involved? Last year, as you said, it can be really predictable how they covered DT and Emmanuel. If you're able to be a little, run the ball better or use the tight end, that'll help DT?
Absolutely. You know, we have a guy like DT. I think moving him around from outside to inside, put him in motion, it definitely helps him. You know, but you know, he has the ability to do those things. He can play the slot. He can play outside. You know, he's a great run of the football. You know, with wide receiver screens, and that's been his trademark for years. You know, catch the screen and go 60 and 70 yards. So I think you're right. You know, having more variety in the offense is going to help him play better.
Vance, what's the key to putting your own personal touches on the defense? Obviously, it's
something like that. Right. Well, you know, the key is going to be, first of all, keeping the system in place. You know, that's been so good the last 2 years. You know, but you can always add, you know, different coverage packages or different pressures that, you know, Wade didn't have that I learned from Coach Zimmer in Cincinnati. You know, so I'm bringing experience from, you know, from the Bengals package, which has been, you know, a really, really good package, you know, in the NFL for a long time. So, you know, add some of those things to Wade's package that Joe's going to run, it's going to help us, you know, become better on defense.
Coach, what do you make of Las Vegas as a home for an NFL team?
It's exciting. You know, I was in Vegas about a month ago with my daughter for volleyball. It's a fun city, you know, and you know, having a football team there, it's going to feel like a special event, you know, every weekend they're playing at home. So I think it's going to be exciting, you know, for the Raider fans and, you know, for the players there to play, you know, in Vegas, you know.
You have any worries?
Half the year.
Any worries about the talent and players going out when you guys are there?
Well, it won't be any different than Miami or New Orleans or New York. It's all big cities, you know. So, you know, educating your players on, you know, the off-the-field behavior won't stop because it's Las Vegas. You know, players go to Vegas in the off-season. You know, but it's different living there, obviously. But it's no different than Miami or any big city in the NFL. You know, it's the same education for the players.
Are you going to look forward to matching with Bill Belichick and going up against Tom Brady in that offense?
Well, yeah, I've done that before.
Yeah.
You know, but again, I don't. You know, Bill doesn't play. I don't play.
Yeah.
No, it's a player's game. But absolutely.
Yeah. That offense with Tom Brady and the addition of Brandon Cooks, what do you see there?
Well, it's scary. You know, it's explosive. You know, but again, you know, players play, and you know, each week's different. And when you play the Patriots, you can't lose the game before the game. That makes sense, because they're so good. You know, with their scheme. You know, so you have to go in a game, and you have to match their football IQ before the game, because if not, you have no chance to beat them. So, and what you said is accurate. So we had to spend a lot of time on making sure our players are up to par with the football IQ of the game, okay, before any snaps are played.